Hello, and welcome to the Government Satellite Report Radio, where we discuss the innovative ways the federal government and United States military are utilizing satellites today. My name is Ryan Schraden. I'm the executive editor of the Government Satellite Report online publication, and today I'm going to be talking about gold. And no, I'm not talking about the expensive metal that drove prospectors west to seek fortune. I'm actually talking about NASA's Global Scale Observations of the Limb and Disc Program, which is known as GOLD for short. For those that are not familiar, GOLD is a hosted payload program that's being developed and operated by an interesting mix of organizations. Those organizations include NASA, the University of Colorado's Laboratory for Atmospheric and Space Physics, which is also known as LASP, the University of Central Florida, Airbus Defense and Space, and global satellite communications provider SESGS. In fact, GOLD represents the first time universities and a commercial spacecraft operator will team up to enable a NASA science mission. Now, if GOLD sounds familiar, it's probably because the program has received some press attention in the past few weeks following the announcement that the payload was successfully installed on the SES-14 spacecraft. To learn more about the GOLD program, this unique partnership, and why the program's so exciting to the space industry, I've asked representatives from multiple GOLD participants to join me on today's show. They are Todd Gossett, the Senior Director of Hosted Payloads at SES Government Solutions, Dr. Richard Eastis, the GOLD Principal Investigator at the University of Central Florida, Rory Barrett, the GOLD Program Manager at LASP, and Bill McClintock, GOLD Deputy Principal Investigator at LASP. Gentlemen, thank you all for appearing on today's show.
Thank you, Ryan. We're glad to be here, glad to share a little bit of our perspectives on the importance of GOLD and SES's hosted payload program.
Ryan, it's Richard. I appreciate the opportunity. It's always great to talk about one of my favorite projects, as I say sometimes. So I'm glad to talk with you about it. Looking forward to this opportunity. Thanks.
Ryan, thanks for having us. I'll definitely appreciate the opportunity to talk about GOLD and share with you where GOLD is today.
Ryan, it's my pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, thank you all for appearing on today's show. It's exciting to have you all on. So, Richard, I want to start with you. LASP, UCS, SESGS, Airbus, NASA, they're all working together on this GOLD program. But I think the question for all of our listeners are thinking of right now is, what is GOLD? What's its mission? And what's it going to enable NASA to do that NASA couldn't do before?
Okay, Ryan. Well, GOLD, as you may know already, is a NASA science mission. So NASA goes out to the science community, identifies problems, areas of science exploration that depend on access to space flight, and they announce these, people submit proposals for it, at least for the PI-led missions, which this is, it's a PI-led mission, and NASA selects the most promising ones, the best ones and most promising ones for funding and hopefully eventually space flight, which is where we're getting to today. They look for complete missions that encompasses everything from mission concept up through getting the instrument built, flown, getting the data back, analysis of the data, publication of the data, and ultimately submission to the NASA archive. So that's what we've proposed to NASA and are in the process of doing. So that's sort of what a NASA mission is. And what GOLD is, as far as what this will enable, it's not just enable NASA to do, but also the scientific community is really where this focus is in exploring and understanding better what's happening in space. This mission will, for the first time, provides imaging of the hemisphere of the Earth from geostationary orbit, and those images, the images that GOLD will observe, can be used to provide information. We'll interpret them to get information about the temperatures in the upper atmosphere and images of the temperatures in the upper atmosphere and composition also in the region where the satellites fly. So this region is very important for a lot of our space-based assets, space-based things we depend on, in addition to being scientifically interesting. So that's what, just in a brief, what gold is and what we're in the process of doing.
It sounds like it's going to generate quite a bit of interesting and important data for the scientific community. Now, there are many different organizations that are involved in this program. We have academia in UCF and LASP. We've got government agencies and NASA. We have large corporations in SESGS and in Airbus. Richard, I'm going to stick with you for a second. What role are each of these organizations playing in the program?
Okay. Several of the universities are involved because of the research that they do. Scientists are located at the universities, have long experience in doing these types of investigations that and analyzing the types of data that we're getting from gold. So that's sort of the role of the universities, and UCF itself will be the home of the Science Data Center. So we have the university has a lot of expertise in handling large groups of data, large data sets. The University of Colorado is a key role in building the instrument. They've done similar or somewhat related instruments on other missions for planetary exploration. These are instruments that will look back at the Earth. This instrument will look back at the Earth and make UV observations, ultraviolet observations of the Earth. And these missions in the ultraviolet can be used to be interpreted to give us temperature and composition information as well as some other pieces of information. That's the role of sort of the universities and the LASP, which is located at the University of Colorado also. We have, of course, the SES is providing access to our location on one of their satellites so we can fly this instrument into space. Can only do the observations from space, so that's a key piece of the mission, is having access to space. And as you know, Airbus is building the satellite, which is for SES, which gold will fly on.
No, it makes sense, and it seems like a very common sense combination or partnership between all these organizations. Bill, I'd like to go to you for a second. It seems like this works. So is it common to see NASA partnering with, you know, colleges and universities like this to conduct these programs?
Yeah, in fact, it is. NASA has a program called Explorers, which is specifically targeted at universities. These are opportunities to propose focused science missions like GOLD, and they typically come in two flavors. One is called the full mission, which includes science instruments and a spacecraft. And the other flavor is called the Mission of Opportunity, or a MOO. And in that case, a university would propose to place a science instrument and a science investigation on a host spacecraft. Often these MOOs are aimed at getting U.S. experiments onto ESA or JAXA missions. But GOLD is a first in that we have proposed and are to place an instrument on a partner communications satellite.
Excellent. Rory, I'd like to swing to you for a second. So we just talked about why this is a first time that we're doing this as a payload, a hosted payload on a commercial satellite. So why was a hosted payload chosen for this program instead of utilizing a custom-built spacecraft to carry the payload?
So the primary driver in selecting a commercial partner and basically going down the hosted payload route for GOLD is cost. the cost of building a custom spacecraft and also the cost of operating our own standalone spacecraft is probably five, maybe eight times more expensive than what it would cost to host Gold on the SES spacecraft. And so that's the primary driver. When you build your own spacecraft, funds are limited, and so you end up cutting back on things like your communications capability or your data rate to the ground. And so one of the nice features or advantages of being hosted on SES-14 is that not only do we get a low-cost access to space on the spacecraft, but we also get high data rate because the spacecraft is a commercial communication satellite with lots of data rate capability. And so we get that advantage as well. And then, of course, the SES team in Luxembourg will operate the spacecraft, and we don't have to take that burden on either.
Actually, you know, one thing I often hear when we talk to government agencies and other people that are exploring hosted payloads is the access or the speed to get into space. Has that been a benefit that you guys have perceived as well, that you're getting this thing up into space and operational faster than if you had decided to build this as a standalone spacecraft?
I'm certainly leveraging the production line of SES spacecraft and the fact that they're building many spacecraft per year, whereas if we went off and built a spacecraft for Gold, we'd build one over a period of 3 or 4 years. And so being able to leverage that pipeline, that access to space is key and allows us to get Gold up and operational quicker. We were fortunate in identifying together the SES-14 mission that had the capability to host Gold, and also the timing was such that it worked well for our mission and instrument project. And so leveraging that has been key as well. Building it from the ground up certainly would take at least a year longer, maybe a few years longer than what we're looking at for SES-14.
And you mentioned the timing. That's a good segue. So let's talk about where Gold is today. So what's the status of this program, and is it launched? Will it be launching soon? What's going on with Gold?
So I'll start with the first part. Where is Gold today? So Gold today is in the Airbus facility in Toulouse in France, and so it's Airbus Defense and Space, and they are the manufacturer of the SES-14 spacecraft. And so not only is Gold at their facility, but we've recently integrated it onto the spacecraft or mated it to the spacecraft and gone through some initial integrated testing where we're sending commands to the Gold instrument through the spacecraft. And all of that we've successfully completed. And so now we're ready to follow what's called the spacecraft environmental test flow, where we'll go through thermal vacuum, mechanical, and other testing in preparation for launch. Once all the testing is complete at Airbus, then the spacecraft will be packaged and shipped to the launch site, which will be in Florida, and then it's planned to launch on a SpaceX Falcon 9 at the end of this year.
Excellent. So it's going to be launching at the end of this year from Florida. How long until it's operational after that?
I'll go ahead and take this part of it. Once we launch at the end of this year, we expect orbit raising of just under 6 months. Once the satellite is on orbit, we typically SES performs about a 30-day checkout and calibration of the payload, and then reposition it to its final orbital slot. And that's going to be at 47.5 degrees west longitude, you know, roughly over Brazil. And then Gold will begin its commissioning activities. And I'll turn it over to Rory to talk about Gold's commissioning.
Yeah, so today the Gold commissioning will take us about a month from when we're initially powered on in the orbital slot location until we start taking Gold science. Initially, we'll just do some baseline measurements in the instrument, and then there's some special processes, or it's called scrubbing of the gold detectors. And so once that process is complete, it takes between 4 and 6 weeks, we'll be ready for the gold science part of the mission, which is planned for 2 years. If things go well, and we hope they do, we may well be able to get extra funding from NASA to extend the mission beyond the planned 2 years.
Excellent. So, you know, we've talked a lot about gold as far as, you know, what it is, what it's going to do, and then, you know, launching it into space, getting it operational. I want to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about the impact of gold on the industry a little bit. So, Todd, I'm going to come to you. What does the successful launch of gold mean to the industry? Do you think that gold, should it launch and operate successfully, is a precursor to more similar hosted payload programs?
Yeah, certainly. You know, SES has been involved with quite a few hosted payload programs. Gold will be our fifth on orbit once it launches later this year, and we have another sixth one under contract. There's other of our industry competitors or competimates that have done hosted payload programs as well. So I think with gold, just like our previous hosted payload programs, it once again demonstrates that the commercial satellite industry and government agencies can be really effective partners together for space missions. Even with just the press that that gold has gotten in its current status, we've seen significant interest from other government agencies in using hosted payloads along the same line as gold as a template. Other principal investigators have come to us and said, "Hey, what you guys are doing with gold and with our Airbus partners, we'd like to do something very similar, the same type of thing." So I think. Successful launch of gold just shows once again that government agencies can have confidence that commercial partners can deliver and get capability on orbit that they would otherwise have to spend a lot more money and potentially a lot more time on.
So I heard you say that, you know, other organizations are looking at gold as a template. Let's talk about that. Let's dive into that a little bit more. So you work with the federal government a lot. You talk to them about hosted payloads a lot. And as you said, SES has five hosted payload programs already. Looking at the gold program, what do you think other government agencies can learn from it?
Well, I think Rory hit on some of this a little bit, but basically that, you know, hosted payload programs are typically following where the industry goes. So we're pretty fast to orbit. We sign a contract with a satellite vendor, and it's typically 3 years and sometimes less, but when that capability is on orbit, it tends to be a lot faster than a typical government program. Oftentimes our technologies are fairly mature. And that allows us to do that, and we don't have government oversight that government satellite programs typically have. Rory already talked about the affordability of it. That's something that this program, you know, along with many others, continue to demonstrate to the government when they don't have to have the government agency doesn't have to procure a launch. They don't have to operate the satellite. They don't have to have a massive satellite operations ground infrastructure. It allows them to spend more money on capability, the capability of their payload, and less on the actual infrastructure of getting to space. And then finally, what I think industry can learn is that, the government can learn is that industry is capable of delivering on these projects. We've experience that there's some growing pains with regards to government turning over the keys, so to speak, on an integration program like this, a hosting program like this, where they're not necessarily in charge. Like, for instance, SES is buying the satellite from Airbus. It's our engineers and our QA folks who are working together with Airbus in Toulouse to make sure that that project goes off without a hitch. And I once we continue to demonstrate that, it gives the government confidence in our processes and procedures to deliver a capability on orbit with the highest levels of mission assurance.
So, well, we have a couple of minutes left. I'd like to open that question up to some of the other folks on the phone. So we've gotten Todd's input on that from the industry perspective. How about you gentlemen from academia, you folks from LASP and the University of Central Florida? Is there anything that, you know, looking at it from your perspective, is there anything you think that the federal government could learn from the GOLD program?
Well, I think they already have learned some things from it. GOLD program. NASA, within the past about 6 months, they did select another mission, another science mission to fly on a commercial satellite. So that's going to be hosted similar to what, using the pattern similar to what GOLD is used for hosting. The science community, of course, is very excited about this because it's difficult to get into geostationary orbit for. Well, it's not difficult necessarily, but it's expensive if you have to buy a whole satellite. So this gives more flight opportunities, to more chances to make observations and to make changes and improvements in the processes being used and the techniques being used. So it's valuable scientifically for just the additional opportunities. And it, of course, as we've discussed already, someone mentioned, it keeps the cost down. Less than what it would cost to buy a satellite and to fly a whole satellite. So it avoids the teams having to not only have that cost, but also the capabilities to do that. So it makes it more tractable and more approachable to do missions.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, personally, I found this to be an extremely interesting and informational look at an innovative new program for NASA, but unfortunately, we're out of time for today's show, so I'm going to have to stop it here. But I do, I would like to thank you all for taking the time to be on the program today.
Hey, thank you, Ryan. Appreciate the opportunity to talk about SES and its hosted payload program.
You're welcome, Ryan. It's great to talk about my favorite project again.
Ryan, thank you for the opportunity to talk about GOLD and share with you where GOLD is today and what's in front.
Yeah, thanks again, Ryan. It's always a pleasure to talk about the GOLD.
Well, hey, the pleasure is all mine. It's been a lot of fun talking to you, gentlemen. And for our listeners, I'd like to thank you as well for joining us for this discussion. Now, if you've liked what you've heard, I encourage you to check out the Government Satellite Report publication for even more exciting satellite-focused content. You can find us online at www.govsatreport.com. I'd also encourage you to check back frequently for new podcasts, much like this one.